Hey everyone, welcome to Bitchin' About Broadway, where we talk about Broadway behind her back. I'm your bitchin' host, Elijah Zurich, and I'd like to introduce my bitchin' co-host, Sam Talk.
Hi guys, what's up? I'm Sam.
Thanks for joining us today. We're so excited to vibe about Broadway. So Sam, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about Moulin Rouge, the musical, because we can.
So I'm going to keep it 100. I kind of stan these actors in this show. Like, I've seen some numbers from it, like recorded numbers. And let me tell you, I was like so impressed. And also the set design is like, what even? Like, it's so good. Yeah, Sam, you're a huge fan of the show, right?
I am a huge fan of the show.
Isn't Satine one of your dream roles?
She is number one on the list. Yes, she is.
She's number one above Catherine Howard?
Yeah, I would have to put her up there, just at number one.
Are you for real? Wow. Okay, Sam.
Her costumes, the music, the plot, her lines, her character development. Oh, chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. And then she dies. Anyways.
Yep. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys.
Girl, I don't really care. They literally say it in like the first 5 minutes.
This is cool.
They're like, the woman I love died in my arms. And then we see Karen Olivo and we're like, oh no, not Karen Olivo.
Karen.
Okay, guys, but like, I love Karen Olivo. I've worked with her one time. She was not impressed with me, but she was still very nice. And I love everything she's done. Like, everything she's done. Like,
Hamilton in the Heights. She's insane. Love her.
She is a little insane, like low key. No, she's high key insane. She really doesn't play. I love her. And of course, Aaron Tveit as her co-star.
Little Toddy. He's like a Broadway heartthrob, I have to say.
Oh, 100%. I think he's the Broadway heartthrob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't you say it's him and Corey Cott?
I would say Corey Cott, Jeremy Jordan, Jonathan Groff. Probably those four.
That's right, Jonathan Groff. I love Jonathan Groff. He hasn't been on the Broadway in a hot minute.
He has not. He's been off Broadway in Little Shop of Horrors, but then he left.
Yeah, I could have seen that in New York, but I would have seen Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
Before the shutdown. I would have seen Gideon Glick, who is also super talented, but like, I just didn't go see it because it was a quick trip, but I wanted to see it because I'm a huge Little Shop stan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're going to take our first song break to kick off this episode with the opening number of Moulin Rouge, the musical, Lady Marmalade.
Oh, yeah. Catch
you on the flip-flop.
Can.
Because you can.
Hardy, hardy. and lager. But for the aristocracy, it's quail eggs and caviar. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce the Duke de Monroe. Things in life are free, but you can keep them for the birds and bees. I got money.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
Starving artists and thieves of Montmartre, our own beloved Bohemia!
Watch out! You might get what you're after. Rouge, baby! Strange, but not a stranger. I'm an ordinary guy, burning down the house. My house, out of the ordinary.
That's right!
Don't wanna hurt no.
If you are just tuning in, this is Bitchin' About Broadway on Hog Radio on Anchor FM, and I'm your host, Sam Talk. And with me is my co-host, Elijah Zurich.
Miss Man, this is my podcast. No, I'm just kidding. So the song we just heard was Lady Marmalade, sung by the Moulin Rouge original Broadway cast. Sam, do you want to tell us about the show, since this is your passion?
Sure. I feel like we only talk about, like, my passions on this podcast.
Well, I mean, your passions, you have good taste. You have great taste. And my taste is so weird. No one wants to hear me talk about Les Mis or Parade.
I want to hear you talk about Parade.
I know. I feel like we need to do a Parade segment.
We should. We should.
Yeah. Hey, guys, like, low-key, if you haven't listened to Parade, go listen to Parade. Just a little PSA.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Sam, tell us about Moulin Rouge.
Okay. So Moulin Rouge is another movie to musical production. Mm-hmm. So the movie was based off another movie in 1952, and that won 7 Academy Awards. Oh, shoot. Nope. Wow. I can't read.
Miss Sam, I don't have time to keep editing this. You're going to have to keep going.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Moulin Rouge, the movie, was released in 1952, and it was nominated for 7 Academy Awards, and it won 2. There we go.
That's underwhelming.
And then, in 2001, Moulin Rouge, the movie musical, was released starring Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor. And that earned itself 8 Academy Award nominations and 1 Academy wins. Right? Because it just says Academy wins.
Sam, you can't say what the paper says live on screen. I'm so sorry, guys. Sam Talk is having a minute. So anyway, Moulin Rouge, the stage musical, opened on Broadway July 25th, 2019 at the Al Hirschfeld Theater. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Oh, period. I'm so proud.
Congrats. Okay.
What other shows have been there, Sam? Do you know?
I know that previously it was Kinky Boots.
Mm-hmm. Billy Porter.
Billy Porter.
And Annalee Ashford. And Brendan Urie.
Yes.
I love that Brendan Urie's been on Broadway. And Kinky Boots. Like, I was like, girl, he'd be in, like, Rocky Horror or something.
Oh, that would be so, so good. I feel like Brendan Urie is one of the better Broadway stunt casts.
Oh, for sure. But we're not going to talk about who we don't like.
Yeah.
If you're a theater fan, you'll find out on the Mean Girls segment.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hey, yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Continuing on to Moulin Rouge the Musical, it was nominated for 14 Tonys in 2020. And if anyone would like to tell me when the 2020 Tony Awards are, I would love to know.
Yeah, please drop it in the comment section. Not that we have a comment section, but we'll just drop it somewhere.
Just drop it like it's hot. But it was nominated for Best Musical, Best Leading Actor in a Musical, which Aaron Tveit was the only actor nominated in that category.
See, that was so weird to me. Let's take a record scratch. When the Tony Awards for 2020 were, like, the nominations were announced,
I was watching it live and it just said, Best Leading Actor in a Musical, Aaron Tveit, Moulin Rouge, and it moved on to the next category. And I thought I burst out laughing.
The whole, like, theater community was like, wait, hold the phone. What?
Hold the phone.
Like, it became a meme. Like, no one talks about it now, though.
I feel like we need to talk about it more because it's funny. But it's...
Yeah.
It's just funny. Like,
it's just funny that they were just like, all the other actors on Broadway, not even close.
No, it's because no other shows open with, like, a leading actor in a musical.
Oh, I literally just thought it was because everyone else was just so bad or something.
No. No, anyone who's on Broadway is very good.
Okay, ma'am. That's why we have this podcast.
Who knows? Who knows?
I think that all Broadway stars, like, most of them, the ones that are, like, that can actually sustain their 8 show a week thing are superior vocalists because their technique is, like, flawless, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I have an impossible standard in love because I have an impossible standard in belting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. This is why we will never get married, guys.
Musicals and books have ruined my taste in men, so...
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that watching falsettos and listening to falsettos a lot, I know this is so off topic, but we're going to talk about it. Listening to falsettos this week, I was like, oh my god. Marvin and Wizard are so toxic, but Marvin worships him in Act 2. You know? Marvin worships Wizard, and it's so cool. I'm like, yes, that's what I want.
You want a toxic relationship. Noted.
No, I want someone to worship me. I want them to be like, oh, what would I do without you? I'll be like, you're about to find out.
Oh. That was smart. That was witty. I appreciate that joke. Okay.
Girl, whatever.
Okay. Anyway,
okay, Miss Honey Girl, let's do a quick breakdown of the show from Stage Agent website on Moulin Rouge.
Okay, do you want to talk about that? Or do you want me to do it?
I think you should do it. You're much more enthusiastic about this one.
Okay. Moulin Rouge first came to Broadway, as previously said, in 2019. Mm-hmm. As grand as a fashion as the movie.
Grander, I believe. Mm-hmm. Like, what? It looks so good.
That lighting, the costumes, just perfection.
Guys, that opening number was too good to be here.
We said this on the podcast last time, but the good morning, it's time to sit and be horny. That's where it comes from. That's where that comes from. Okay.
Wait, it comes from where?
Because my alarm in the morning goes off as Lady Marmalade from the musical.
Sam.
Okay, if you...
Baby, that's not a flex.
Stop it. Stop attacking me. I'm just saying, anyway, when that bass drops, if you don't drop it like it's hot, you're doing it wrong, okay?
Miss Ma'am! Period.
How I wake up in the morning? Okay. The show follows the Moulin Rouge star performer Satine and American man Christian as they navigate through a love affair between a duke.
Through a tumultuous.
I just looked at the word and I said no, and I moved on.
Sam is illiterate, my
friend. I'm not illiterate. I'm actually writing a book. So.
Anyways, the Moulin Rouge is going bankrupt, and Harold Ziegler, the club's owner.
You're illiterate too. It's Ziegler.
Oh, I thought it was Maddie Ziegler, guys. Oh no, I love Maddie Ziegler, BZW. Mm-hmm. The club's they're failing, and they're willing to do whatever is necessary to save the beloved show and the jobs of all involved. Period. That is the good stuff.
So Harold sets up Satine with the Duke, a wealthy man looking for a woman to be his own, and it's Harold's last hope that she is what will entice the Duke to put his own money up to save the Moulin Rouge. Little did Harold know of the Duke's violent past when it comes to his relationships.
Oh.
I just want to put a side note in. One of the differences between, let's just keep talking about the plot. We'll get to the difference.
No, Miss Ma'am, I think you need to say what you're going to say live on television.
The Duke is really hot in the musical.
Oh my God.
He's really hot. And I know that's toxic for me to say, but it's unfair that both musical Duke and musical Christian are hot. That's unfair.
Hey, Sam. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So, as a girl, I think you'll understand. Why is, if a boy is mean to you guys, y'all just, instantly fall in love? Because I've been watching that happen a lot. I have a friend that's in a relationship, and he's, kind of mean to her, and she's like, that is so hot. I'm like, no, it ain't. So, and then I think that, when people are mean to me, I'm like, oh, wait, he's in love with me. Low-key, just a little bit. And they're definitely not. They just don't like me. But, it's fine.
They're just assholes. Okay.
Anyway.
I don't have an answer to that question. You know what? Ask me that when we're not recording and live. Okay?
No, I wanted to bring up abuse, though. Low-key.
Okay. Okay.
Anyways, also, guys, let's not be in abusive relationships, at all from this point forward. We're way too good to be here. We don't need to be in abusive relationships, and if you're in one, get the hell out and find help, because I see a lot of people that are in this situation with the Moulin Rouge plot, and I think that this show actually raises awareness for it, because it just, anyways, go on.
Even if it's not a romantic relationship and it's platonic and they're still abusive, it's a toxic friend, get out of there.
Yeah, get out, girl. We don't need no Duke business going on.
Okay, back to the plot. This puts a massive obstacle in between Christian and Satine, and it leaves us all wondering, is it all worth it for love? But love always prevails, as following the Bohemian's ideals of truth, beauty, freedom, and love, with a pop score from artists ranging from the Rolling Stones to Beyonce to David Bowie to Rihanna and more. Moulin Rouge is a truly spectacular, spectacular addition to the Broadway canon.
Okay, but like, what even is the theme? Because the songs, like, they're from everywhere.
They are.
Like, they're from everywhere. It's not like a jukebox musical. Like, I don't think that's what it would be, right?
No, in fact, I was watching an interview between Alex Timbers and Justin Levine, who are part of the creative team for Moulin Rouge, and they were talking about how Moulin Rouge is the anti-jukebox musical.
Mmm, interesting.
Because where in a jukebox musical, like a normal one, it's usually one artist, and then they're like, we have X, Y, and Z songs. Where do X, Y, and Z songs go into the show? Where Rouge, they really don't have any restraints, I guess, when it comes to picking the score and like transposing and arranging the score. So in a sense, it is an anti-jukebox musical because you do have the freedom to go outside of a regular pop or rock jukebox musical. You can go to like jazz, or you could go to like country or techno, rap, anything, tango, because there's a tango number in this.
Sam, did you just say wow?
I said rap. It might have sounded like WAP though.
Okay. I was so confused. I thought you
The queen comes out and she starts singing WAP to the Duke and Christian. I think.
Imagine she was just like, certified freak, yeah, 7 days a week.
Imagine the ensemble in that show. Hearing that number. The ensemble in this is amazing.
Dance too.
What?
They could do the TikTok dance for WAP too. They could.
I'm still waiting for TikTok the musical to happen. Okay, Ratatouille happened. Let's get to
Ratatouille was great. Anyway, that's what I'm saying. So anyway, Sam, what do you like about this musical? Because you're very knowledgeable about it. Like, I mean, this is just not my department. Like, my department is like weirder shows, like Jekyll and Hyde and Parade. Mm-hmm. So this is more mainstream than I'm used to. Like, for me, like the most mainstream show I listen to is Les Mis and Six.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like, what, and also, like, what do you think, like, the fan base even is for this? Like, what is the audience? So, because I was wondering, is this, like, a fresh thing for younger people? Because I know it was a movie years ago. Did they change any of the songs?
They took some songs out. I know they took The Show Must Go On, Like a Virgin, and Fly Away out. And
guys, Like a Virgin was such a weird number.
That was my favorite number in the movie.
No, it's my favorite number too, but it was just so weird. I was sitting there with my parents and I was like, oh my God.
Was Nikki and Alan, they were like, what is going on? Excuse me?
No, my parents aren't nuns, but they were just like, oh my gosh, okay.
And they were like, why are you friends with Sam? Because she likes.
No. We watched the movie on our own before we even knew.
Oh, them. Okay. Okay.
So, no. What I'm saying is like, we were watching it, and I was like, what's the theme? And they were like, girl, I don't know the theme. And then that song came on, and they were just like, okay. Wasn't there, like, a giant elephant at some point in the movie?
Yeah, because Satine's dressing room is inside the elephant.
That was so cool.
That is really cool, though.
I remember making jokes about it for, like, a year and a half straight, like, with my friends. I was like, guys, I want a big elephant dressing room. I didn't say dressing room, but I was just like, the big elephant house. And they're like, what? And like,
nothing. So back to like the fan base. I think people like this show, specifically the movie. I'm going to focus on the movie right now. Because the plot is a little scattered in the movie. And you don't necessarily have a straight plot besides Christian, Satine, and the Duke and their love triangle. Right. And I think a lot of people watch the movie to just have a good time and enjoy the
movie. Yeah, because it's a bop.
It is a bop. Very much a bop. But what they did in the musical is they improved and enhanced some of the characters' backstories. Like, we have a straight backstory for Satine, the Duke, Harold, most of the Lady Marmalades, and Christian.
See, now I really want to see the show. Like, obviously, when Broadway opens back up and I get to go, I'll probably go see that in New York. I'm just really excited about it now that, like, you've hyped it up so much.
I've been saving up money because I want to get one of the tickets in front, like, in the first row. Like, if you see how the Al Hirschfeld Theater, wow. I almost said Gershwin. Don't know why. Okay, Wicked, we see you. Moulin Rouge took Wicked out. They were like, see ya. But I want to sit in the front row because I feel like that'd be a really, 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 really amazing, spectacular experience.
Me too. I think that's what I would want to do if I saw Moulin Rouge. Actually, I'd want to sit like 30 rows back. Mm-hmm. Only because then they do the can-can and the opening number. I would feel really bad looking up all those skirts. Like, I would just feel so wrong because, like, you know, there wasn't that like a scandal too? Like, I remember vaguely that because Six couldn't do the Mega Six recorded, because you know, like, they'll let you record the Mega Six at the end of the show, but nothing else during the show. Because there's like a Mega Mix at the end of Moulin Rouge. And they cut out the recordings for that because they, like, for that and Six, because the cast members of Moulin Rouge weren't comfortable with it being filmed with, like, their scantily clothed vibes. You know?
Yeah, I would say that if you didn't know, Moulin Rouge is based off the Moulin Rouge, which is an actual nightclub in Paris. What? It's a real place? Wowzers.
I knew that, Sam.
Yeah, and it's not a kid-friendly place. I would say it's more targeted.
Well, a nightclub, I would certainly hope that no one would bring their kids.
It's like when you take your 10-year-old child to see Book of Mormon.
It's like when my mom took me to see Book of Mormon twice when I was 9. True story.
I convinced my mom to get tickets to see Book of Mormon. And that was an experience that I'll never forget.
Oh, my God. I cannot with you.
I can't. Okay. What were we talking about? The audience? Okay. Yeah. So for the Moulin Rouge movie, that's a different thing. Moulin Rouge musical. I think fans in the movie were flocking and are still going to flock when Broadway reopens to see Moulin Rouge because they love the movie growing up and they're older now and adults have most of the money in the world. So why not buy a ticket and take your kids or take your family, take your friends. And I think Moulin Rouge attracts an audience of all different age generations because no matter what your opinion is on musical theater, this is a jukebox musical, anti-jukebox musical, and it has songs for everyone. Like the older people might appreciate the Rolling Stones or the Rhythmics, and the younger people like the Millennials or the Gen Zs might appreciate the Beyonce and the Britney Spears.
Katy Perry stuff is solid, let's be real. When she did Firework, I was like, man.
Erin Olivo really went off. Like, she didn't have to go that hard, but she did. She did it for us.
I remember when I had my class with her, she was telling us that when she auditioned, she didn't even emulate, like, anything about Nicole Kidman's performance because she was telling us that she looks nothing like Nicole, she sounds nothing like Nicole. And she's not going to do a job like Nicole's. And she played it her way. And I think that was so smart. Because I think that creating the new work is what is going to keep theater alive. And Karen is a shining example of it.
Definitely. Because I think Broadway is more going towards the movie musical adaptations. And to make it more.
Not sure why, like, original work.
It is wonderful, too. But I think that with the movie musical adaptations, you have to reinvent the characters in a way to keep people from coming back. Like, to keep people to come back, I guess, what I'm trying to say is.
Damn.
I'm good, girl. I'm good. I'm tired. I'm really tired, guys.
Yeah. Tired of your shit. Oh, no, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I love you. I love Sam. No, but seriously, Broadway is in a really interesting place. I mean, like, it's literally not open, and, like, the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe we're going to be shut down for a year.
They're thinking about reopening in August with extensive COVID testing. So let's see if that happens. I'm really hoping it is.
That's going to be a scandal.
I feel like it's going to take one idiot to like ruin it for the rest of us.
I know. It would.
Like someone doesn't wear their mask during a show. Like, bruh, come on.
Okay, my favorite thing is when Six opened back up and
it opened for like 2 days.
They had a short run. No, it was open for like a week because I have a friend there that went to go see it like 3 or 4 times. Okay. Yeah, he was like, I'm just gonna go see them all. One of the people in the audience, who is actually a bigger star, actually didn't wear a mask in the audience, and she was like posting selfies at the show. And everyone in the whole community, like, especially in London, like, I mean, I wasn't there, but I heard from my friend because he's very involved, that everyone was just kind of over it because it came back under strict guidelines and she just didn't even wear a mask in the audience. Like, she just didn't do it. And we were all just like, wouldn't you be setting the example for the rest of the community? Guys, wear your mask. If you have to wear a mask, like if you're instructed to wear your mask, don't do that. Just don't
Thank
do
you,
it.
PSA. Thank you, PSA. Okay.
You're saying. But yeah, I really hope that Broadway comes back ASAP.
It has to be safe or else we can't have it open then.
And it's not even from an audience point of view, it has to be safe for the actors because they live lives outside of the show. And if they're just going to be up there like, sweating on each other and like spinning on each other, it's very unsanitary to perform. It is very unsanitary.
And I think that's how COVID like spread so fast in the Broadway community and how they're so worried to bring Broadway back because the cast of Moulin Rouge, 25 out of their entire company tested positive for COVID.
Oh my gosh.
They're really close.
Like, I was watching. Yeah. That's really scary because we've lost people in the Broadway community. Like, we've lost people to COVID, like, in our community. Yeah. And, like, we've definitely lost, like, quite a few, like, legends. Yeah. Terrence McNally and Nick Cordero. Like, we've lost people. So it's really scary for us because these are people that we've known and that we love and have produced great work. It's just so disheartening to even see people that don't see. I mean, honestly, this is like another tangent. I'm going to go off on it. I find it really interesting that sports has opened back up.
Yes.
But theater, no. Like, we just had the Super Bowl in Tampa here. And I saw the news with, like, the after party and everything. People were just walking in the streets of Tampa without their masks, like, having a party. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, okay, but if I posted about doing a show, I would get crucified on the internet. Like, when I did Sweeney Todd, and I posted a picture of me and my Mrs. Lovett, like, doing the kissing scene. And I was like, guys, first kiss, because it was. And it was really funny to me. I got, like, 3 or 4 messages of just, like, this makes me uncomfortable. And I was like, bitch, you live in France. Don't, like, I'm over here living my best life in Tampa, Florida. You live in France. You're not affected by this. Like, just leave me alone. I don't know. It was really odd. Guys, if we're going to open sports, open theater. But you can't have it both ways. Yeah. You just really can't. I'm sorry. And once sports, like, people start, I'm sorry, I'm not very sporty, but once sport people start getting sick, what are they going to do? Wear their masks during the game? They'll just suffocate because they move so much. Like, I can't even sing in a mask properly because, like, it just doesn't work that way.
Yes.
Like, we need air to sing, and we can't be breathing our own air. So, like, imagine being an athlete on a field. But, like, you can't be like, oh, sports are coming back and not have theater come back because that's selective.
Yeah.
And that's just the tea. And that's the controversy of bitching about Broadway on this day.
I also want to mention that this is, like, a minor thing, but going back to, like, we need air to breathe through our masks. It's not that we can't breathe through our masks. It's just, as a singer, when we sing, we use our mouths to breathe. So when we suck the air back in, the fabric goes into our mouth.
Yeah, that's my big
thing. Yeah, and I know this might sound like very inferior or little of us to say, but it's easier to sing without a mask than with. But I would rather be safe than.
Also, I was never trained to sing in a mask.
Never.
So I'm not even sure. Like, my mouth, like, when I move my mouth to sing, like, the mask slips. And sometimes I don't have.
Yeah, and then I feel really guilty when I have to, like, try and, like, put it back on. And I don't want to, like, put people at risk. But when my mask falls off, when I'm, like, belting in a voice lesson, like, I can't really help that.
Oh, my God. Do you have your voice lessons yes. in your mask? Okay. I do my voice lessons over Zoom with my coach. Because she teaches out of her house and she doesn't want anyone going into her house, which I don't want anyone coming into my house either. So I understand. But I get to sing without my mask, but like I miss seeing her in person. So that's also, it's so hard to get coached when you have like something covering your mouth, because most of the problems we have as singers are like our mouth shape, our jaw, and our tongue.
So and another thing, over Zoom, I don't know how other people are doing their voice lessons, but over Zoom, there is a certain max volume level that you cannot exceed.
I know, because I've been in Zoom classes before, and someone's like belting their face off, and you can tell it sounds really good, but then the Zoom thing will do that like thing where it like doubles in sound and like vibrates, and it's like you know. And we missed like that whole high belt. And I'm like, oh no. But I don't know. I love that we did get quarantined though, because I hate to be that way, but the earth needs to heal, because we were going at like 28 miles. We were going at like 100 miles per hour. We need to like have a minute where we go like 28 miles per hour, you know? Because we're just so, we have this like culture now, and I feel it as a performer and as someone in theater specifically that is a working person. We have this culture of that we always have to be on the hustle, and we say we can take breaks, but if we take a break, yes, it's frowned upon.
Totally believe that.
I think we needed the forced break.
Like as much as we didn't accept it at first, I think a lot of performers are coming to appreciate it, but now I feel like we're getting a little cabin feverish.
No, 100%. Like, I'm very lucky I've been able to do shows, and I actually have one this weekend. Songs
for Congrats, break a leg.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited about it. But I think that without theater, I don't think I could have survived. Like, from August, like, I started back to theater in August. And I actually did go out of town for the Making It on Broadway intensive.
But you didn't travel out of state.
No, I didn't. But I know people that did. And they were so glad they did, because they got to meet people like Jody and Samantha Polly that summer. And it was like a little taste of like what it was, but we were all very cautious and sanitary, and it was really nice that we just kind of vibe checked.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. I know this isn't like on the topic or anything, or even on our discussion pages, but it is so necessary that we recognize what we have to do, and to take a minute to make a plan. And no one said this to me. This is my personal opinion. Like, no, I'm sure other people think it, but I could be completely wrong. I'm not going to like pin this on anyone. I just personally think that Broadway needed to take a minute, because I think at times our community can be a little toxic in the way that we have these high expectations of Broadway performers. I mean, any performers, even if you're off Broadway, to do like a god tier performance every single day. But the truth is, we're human and our bodies feel different every day. Like, and I experience that a lot. And I mean, I'm not on Broadway, but I have really bad allergies, and some days I'll be fine, and some days I just cannot go on. Like right now, my vocal cords are swollen. I cannot belt my normal stuff. I'm probably belting like a baritone or range today. But tomorrow, I could be belting my high stuff at the top of my range mm-hmm. as per usual. But I think that we need, I think that with the Broadway shutdown, for all the people in theater, it took us a minute to see that we do need rest. And that some of us are happier when we have rest. Because I know I am. And I'm back, and I've really felt the difference because I am a social person. But then coming back, I've realized how, not antisocial, but just how much I don't need that. Mm-hmm. Like, just how much I don't need other people. Like, I've even had, like, some friends leave my life because, like, either we drifted apart or they changed aggressively in the quarantine and just don't vibe with me anymore. That's cool, too. But change needs to be made if we're all going to grow. Because 2020 and 2021 are about the growth. Because we're still locked up. And even things that aren't locked up, we're still working at half capacity. But there's a lot more leniency and finding our footing. And I feel like sometimes in the face of like this tragedy, like we literally have a pandemic. Like when was the last time we had a pandemic? But I think that our culture and our world needed something like that to press pause. Because we weren't going to do it on
our own. So what you're saying is that you yourself found quarantine to be somewhat rewarding in a way because you were able to grow as a person and realize how independent you were.
Yes, 100%. And I mean, I've met some lifelong
friends. Oh my gosh, like who? Quarantine.
Like Sam Talk. No, it's straight up. And I mean, and I think it's really strengthened my relationship with some of my teachers because I started working with Sarah Meal in the quarantine and I met Amy von Nordstrom Murphy in the quarantine. And like now I have these two wonderful dance teachers that have also like made connections for me. Like when I went live with Sarah Meal that one time, Rob McClure was on the live and he like interacted with us. And now like he kind of knows who I am. So that's really cool. You know, like there were opportunities. And I think people, like especially theater kids, that say that there were no opportunities. I was like, you know, you could have taken
a master class. You could have watched an online show. There were a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and like I think you did this more than me, Sam, but reading scripts of plays.
Huge script collection.
See, I don't have a huge script collection of shows I wasn't in, but I do. I was reading the Falsettos script yesterday. I mean, obviously, I could watch it. But when you're reading a text and you're putting yourself in the shoes of a character, instead of, like, reading a book from, like, a point of view of a character, you're reading a script as a character. And I think that it really does something to your head as an actor. And it causes you to grow, even if you're just reading the script and not even, like, acting it out. Because you're getting a feeling and not an action. Yes. Do you see what I mean? And I feel like the quarantine was made for us to find our feelings and not worry about action. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still stayed busy. Like, I did master classes every week. I met everyone at Broadway Workshop. I did a few things with Artists and Beyond on Instagram. That's now Broadway Plus. Congratulations to them. Yeah. And I met I did MX Masterclass and I met all those people in London. And that's where I'm going next summer. So things were made. Growth was taken. And the world didn't press pause as much for me, but it slowed down. And I didn't go stir crazy, but I feel like if I was doing absolutely nothing, I would just get depressed. I just think that there were opportunities to be taken, and there still are. So if you're a theater kid and you want to grow and like your theater isn't necessarily open, you can go onto these websites and Instagrams and Facebooks and find out what virtual classes are happening. And there's even free YouTube classes you could take, like dance classes on YouTube. Like, I think I'm going to start doing that. Like, I saved a couple. I looked up, like, dance class, and, like, they teach a combo for, like, an hour. and it feels like a one-on-one training. Obviously, you can't ask questions because it's a video. But just to get moving and to get into your body, I think that's really cool, too. Like, even if, like, you don't have a coach there. So, I don't know. I think that the quarantine needed to happen. And I know this is so off topic for Moulin Rouge, but I think that Moulin Rouge is going to thrive when the quarantine's over, because all of those actors will have had a break. And I was watching their opening number, and I was like, are you kidding me? These dancers have to do this every day? Because it was like, they have to come out of the shoot at like 200% energy. And I was like, I would need kind of a warm-up. Like, and the shows I'm kind of in, like Les Mis, like, we do like the look down, you know, like that kind of stuff. And that's like your warm-up. And then like, by one day more, you're warmed up, you're in the show. I don't know. I just...
And Sam, I have not, don't.
Whatever. Oh my gosh. She's a fake fan, guys. She's a fake fan. Ugh. Anyways, I think...
Yes, I think that we should play Come What May.
Okay, Come What May.
Karen Tveit and Karen Olivo.
Okay, favorites. Go off, Karen. Go off, Aaron. Oh my gosh. Ka-Aaron is their ship name. It's still Karen.
They're both in relationships. Yeah.
Really?
I know, but their chemistry is so good on stage. Like,
I'm going to have to see who they're with, because I didn't know Karen was in a relationship. Guys, I don't talk to Karen that much. She probably doesn't want to talk to me. She's like, oh, no. It's a no for me. I do think that Karen and I would be cool if I knew her, because she seems super chill.
Just like,
she is really chill. When I met her, she just was like, Elijah. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Like, obviously none of us were going to be as good as Karen Olivo herself, but like, you know, she's so good and she's such a good coach. If you can work with her, please work with her. She's great. And also, she's really pretty. I just can't. I stand her clear skin. Anyways, this is Come What May, sung by Aaron Tveit and Karen Olivo.
Never knew I could feel like this. Like I'd never seen the sky before. I want to vanish inside your kiss. Every day I love you more and more. Listen to my heart, can you hear it sing? Telling me to give you everything. Seasons may change. But I love you until the end of time. Come what may, come what may, I will love you until
Welcome back. I'm Elijah Zurich with Sam Talk, and you're listening to Bitchin' About Broadway, where we bitch about Broadway behind her back on Hot Radio on Anchor FM. And we just listened to Sam.
Come What May.
From Moulin Rouge, the Broadway musical, sung by two of my favorites, Cut Aaron.
They're married, but okay.
They're definitely not married, but Cut Aaron.
Wait, I don't think Aaron's married. I think Karen is married. Yeah. Yeah. Aaron is...
What? She's married? How did I miss the wedding?
You didn't get an invite?
Oh, wow, Karen. Wow.
I thought we had... Okay.
All right. So, you were listening. I ranted about why COVID is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to talk about Moulin Rouge for the last part of our segment.
Yes. Elijah, yeah. What is Moulin Rouge based off of?
It's based off of the actual Moulin Rouge in Paris.
I know.
It's translated to Red Mill.
Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about what the story is based off of. I'm talking about the Orpheus and Eurydices.
Oh, period. I forgot about that. Low key, the story is actually based off of like the Greek mythology of Orpheus and Eurydice, which is also a musical, guys.
Hadestown. Also, fun fact. Oh, we need to do a Hadestown segment.
Oh, 100%.
Fun fact: the Can-Can song, the da 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 dun dun da 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 dun dun. That song is actually called Orpheus. Is from a from an opera called Orpheus in the Underworld.
Oh my gosh. Cool. I love that.
Little tidbit for
okay,
you.
Okay, but guys, I know this is like so off topic, but opera.
It needs more love.
Guys, I was in Carmen when I was like...
When were you in Carmen?
Like 12. I was in the children's chorus. What? Yeah. St. Pete Opera House.
Bro.
It was a thing.
You were a soprano when you were younger.
I still am a little bit of a soprano, actually.
Pop off, okay.
Guys, that's on being a countertenor. Oh. Guys, but my belt is a mess. Like, my allergies hold me back. And that's on having allergies. So, anyways.
Back to Moulin Rouge.
The actual Moulin Rouge nightclub in Paris opened in October 1889 and recently celebrated its 130th birthday. Happy birthday, Moulin Rouge. And the venue has undergone different owners and many remodels over the years, but it was an environment venue from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Environment? Girl, entertainment. I can't read. Girl, it's an environment venue. Sam, let's make that a new joke.
Okay.
Baby, that's Kiki Palmer. Have you seen that TikTok? It's so funny.
I have not, but I love Kiki Palmer.
It's like, oh my gosh, we gotta talk about that later. Just remind me about Kiki Palmer.
Okay, well.
Okay, but like, straight up, Kiki Palmer really pops off. Like, no one's talking about her vocally.
Her range. She played Cinderella, but then she also played Marty in Grease live with Aaron Tveit.
Wait, that was Kiki Palmer?
It was.
That was Kiki Palmer.
Freddie, my love, I miss you more than words can say. Oh?
Hey.
Hey?
I'm thinking of auditioning for Grease to be the Teen Angel.
Please do.
Happening at my theater. It's being student directed, and he's really talented. So I'm like, guys, I think that it's going to be a good show. And then, like, I know one of the guys that's auditioning for Danny, and he's really good. And I was like, oh, I think this is a good production of Grease.
Yes.
Not that they're... girl, I'm not going to talk about Grease right now.
Have you ever seen that video of the, like, it's a... I don't know what kind of production it is, but they go, summer dreams drift at the sea by. Oh, that's summer. And it's so off key. And it's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I love off key performances. Like, I love going to see weird high school performances of just off key music. Like, I don't, listen, I know that's so mean, but It's so fun for me to, like, go see things. Like, I'm not even going to say what I saw a production of where everyone was off key. But I went to go see said production, and I was like, oh, my gosh. It's that kind of day.
They are redefining the term go off.
Me and my friend Alex, who will eventually be on this talk show because he's been begging me to be here for whatever reason. Oh. I know he's like, Elijah, why be on the podcast? I'm like, girl, it's a radio show. He's like, podcast. He's so sweet. He's 14, but he's like 6'4".
Aww.
So he's just very massive and very tall. And he's very baby.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very tall. And it's so sweet. And I'm only 5'9". So I'm shorter than him, but I'm like a massive bitch that he loves it. It's so funny.
I'm 5'7". I'm at a weird height where I don't have like a personality trait that fits me. I'm here. I just take up space. Okay.
Okay. But anyways, what was I even saying about Alex?
I don't know. What were we saying about Moulin Rouge? Because that's what this episode's about.
No, I was saying something about Alex. It was really funny. Oh, well, we came up with the Keke Palmer joke together. Like, we saw that TikTok, and now we just walk up to each other, and we're like, baby, that's Keke Palmer. It's just so funny. He knows Keke Palmer, and I didn't until I saw that meme. I know I'm so bad, but, yeah. Party.
Okay.
So anyway, Moulin Rouge. Moulin. I'm so excited about this coming back to Broadway when things open back up because you've kind of made me fall in love with it, Sam.
You're welcome.
That set design, though, I know we've talked about it a little earlier, but like, what?
Can we talk about how like the entire atmosphere of the theater has been transformed into the Moulin Rouge?
Can we talk about how expensive that this show was?
Yes.
Like, definitely put on, like, I personally think that it might be a financial flop because of how much they put into it.
Oh?
Yes, because you know, like, Frozen was considered a flop even though it ran for 3 years?
Yes.
The set was, like, not even as extravagant as Moulin Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a theory that Moulin Rouge might eventually be a financial flop, like, considered a financial flop on Broadway.
Okay, but they are... Consider this, they are in one of the largest theaters in...
They are, I forgot about that.
1,424 seats.
And it sells out.
And it sells out.
It sells out. I don't even think rush hour tickets are a thing for that.
Because
I remember when I was in New York, I don't think it was open yet when I saw it, but I didn't see it. But like over the summer when the out-of-town tryouts were happening...
Mm-hmm.
I have a few friends that went, and they had to buy their tickets, like, 5 months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just sold out, and they just... And they didn't... They had, like, really bad obstructed view seats.
Uh-huh.
And they spent, like... I feel like this number is completely wrong, but it was somewhere in the thousands.
Damn.
And it was... their seats weren't even in orchestra.
And what show was this?
Moulin Rouge.
Oh, Moulin, okay.
Out of town tryout.
Well, know? I just looked it up. It cost $28 million to bring it to Broadway.
Yeah, I...
Let that sink in. Let that sink in. $28 million to put it on Broadway.
Wow, that's a lot of that's the hot girl shit, girl.
Well, when you put into account like the costumes, like if you
no, yeah, I mean the costumes look crazy expensive. Like they're anywhere from like $300 a piece, mm-hmm. You know.
And Catherine Zeller, who designed the costumes, did a video. I forgot with what newspaper, but she did like an interview. And she, like, took you up close and personal with, like, the costumes and how much detail. Like, it's hand-sewn. I'm like, what? Okay.
I mean, yeah, it looks like it would have to be hand-sewn. There's not a lot you can do on a machine with, like, that little detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was the producer, I'd be like, girl, you're going to have to cut out some detail. We don't have the money for
this. I know. They already announced, like, a North American tour. And I'm like, how much?
How?
How? Like, how? Like, first off, how Satine enters in the musical is she comes down on this swing. And not every theater has that. Not every... I just...
You know? They're going to have to... edit.
I know they're gonna have to edit some things, but
oh yeah,
I hope they don't. I hope they do say, you know what, $28 million, not it's nothing.
I'm definitely gonna see this tour though. Like, I'm definitely gonna see this mm-hmm. tour, but I honestly, like, I would spend money to see it in New York because I've gotta see it. Like, I personally, Elijah Zurich has to see this show. Like, just to say I saw it.
And I, Samantha Talk, needs to see this show. I just need...
We'll go together.
We'll go together. Save up your money. We're getting tickets.
I'm excited. I'm glad we're going.
Yeah. It's official. We don't know when, but we're going.
We are. I'm really excited about, like, the venue, too, for this. Like, I know we talked about, like, the seating and how it's, like, transformed. But I want to see, like, I want to walk around the venue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to see Beetlejuice and the whole atmosphere was transformed.
Oh, I love sitting in the Winter Garden while Beetlejuice was playing. That was a really cool experience.
It was, like, it was just so good. And they had, like, the pre-show music.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alex Timbers, who directed Beetlejuice, also directed Moulin Rouge.
What?
Straight up.
Alex Timbers has great.
He does, and he also directed Oh Hello, the Nick Kroll and John Mulaney show, and Peter and the Starcatcher.
Oh my gosh. Hello. Hello. And
Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson too, which is another like pop musical.
I love that you know about all the pop musicals. Okay. Like, I don't know.
I'm really high key obsessed with Alex Timbers. So Alex Timbers, if you're ever doing a production, I would love to just collaborate with you on anything.
Even if it's a jukebox.
Especially if it's a jukebox.
Especially. Period. I like that Moulin Rouge is the anti jukebox.
It is.
It is. But like for real, Aaron Tveit.
It just always goes back to Aaron.
No, it doesn't always go back to Aaron. Sometimes it goes to Cut Aaron.
Cut Aaron.
Cut Aaron. No, but like Aaron today, like I remember him in the Les Mis movie, like X number of years ago, with Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway. And I was like, wow, he's like the best singer here because he's like trained. Yes. And now I'm like, that's why he was Fiero and Wicked. There we go.
I found a clip of him singing Dancing Through Life, and it's mind-blowing. Just his, like, added riffs and, like, his spin on the character, just, it's beautiful.
Guys, I'm not the biggest Wicked fan, and I mean, like, it's not because of anything Wicked did. Like, it's not any of that. It's just that, like, I'm not a Wicked person.
Yeah, I never got into Wicked that much. I really appreciate the musical, but I'm just not, like, a Wicked stan like some people.
I'm more of a Hamill whore, you know?
Is that what they're called? That's so...
No, I made that up just
now. Calling out the Hamill horrors. Where are you guys at?
Six has the Queendom. Mm-hmm. Wicked has the Ozians. And Hamilton has the Hamill horrors.
I hate that, but I love it at the same time.
It's a little crackhead energy. I really like it, if I'm going to be completely honest.
I know Beetlejuice has the Netherlands. I think Moulin Rouge is Bohemians. I don't know.
Hamilton's are the Hamill whore.
Stop that.
No, I won't stop
that
it.
Right now.
No!
Stop it. Wash your mouth out.
Does that mean that fans of Oliver, the musical, would be urchins?
Correct.
Guys, I don't know why anyone would be a fan of like that, like religiously. Like, I'm a fan of it in terms of like it's a great show, but I'm not a fan of it in terms of like I've seen every cast and I'm obsessed with it. Like,
I've never listened to Oliver or read the book, so I can't really form an opinion on it. Sorry, That's sorry, guys.
I love that you've never seen Les Mis either because you're tacky.
Stop it. I just don't want to be sad, okay? There's some musicals that you're just sad throughout the entire thing.
I know, no, but you're not sad throughout the entire thing. I think what people say is, like, obviously everyone dies in Les Mis, but also, I think, oh, listen, if you've seen Falsettos, that's more tragic.
Have you ever seen Miss Saigon?
Yes. Miss Saigon's more tragic than Les Mis.
Okay.
Les Mis is more hopeful.
Okay.
It's because the way it ends is they sing the, do you hear the people sing? Like, but everyone's in heaven. And it's really nice because, like, tomorrow, I think it just always shows that, like, there is always a tomorrow. And even after that first French Revolution, there were more French Revolutions until they got what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that, like, it's, like, never lose hope. Like, even in, like, the face of death, there is, like, oh my gosh, I'm, like, crying. I'm in love with Les Mis. Even in, like, the face of death, there is always hope. And I think that Les Mis is just so inspiring. So the fact that you haven't seen Les Mis
shows what kind of a person I am. Okay.
You like Moulin Rouge more than Les Mis. Like, let me listen. I love Moulin Rouge, but it doesn't like feed the soul like Les Mis feeds the soul. Moulin Rouge feeds the heart, and I think we need that too.
Well, it's weird because like a lot of people, well, like the two main leads, Tam Mutu, who plays the Duke. Both been in Les Mis. So,
wait, what was the Duke in Les Mis? The guy
Tam Mutu was Javert.
That fits him. Like I'm looking at his picture right now.
I listen to him sing "Stars." Oh, it's so good. I don't even know what's happening.
I love that you know the songs, but you
I didn't know what was happening. Show. I just have a really unhealthy fascination with Tam Mutu. I just really appreciate him as an actor. He is great. He also played the Phantom in like, Love Never Dies.
Oh, I love Love Never Dies. Don't even get me started. I know it's like such an underrated show. Oh my gosh, show.
I love it. It's one of my all-time favorite shows.
I love it. I don't know why people don't like it. Like, yeah, the plot is a little hokey pokey, but... The music is on another level because, I mean... Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote it. I mean, duh.
Andrew Lloyd Webber saw Phantom of the Opera and he was like, this is good, but do you know what it could use? A bit more murder and a bit more rock. And that's what Love Never Dies is.
I love Andrew Lloyd Webber. I can't wait to see his Cinderella. Like, I love that that's like always a topic of discussion.
I'm going to keep talking about that until I see it.
We're going to go to London together.
Please? Can we?
Actually.
Let's do it.
Actually. Guys, seriously though, I think we're going to have to do an Andrew Lloyd Webber segment on like all Andrew Lloyd
Webber. It's just going to be like a 5-part episode series.
I mean, period. I mean, as it should be.
As it should be.
And Sam, I have a question for you before we leave the chat. Why do you think that this show is going to succeed on Broadway? Other than the fact that it's good, but like what's going to keep it alive?
I think that people who have seen the show and seen the movie are going to keep bringing their friends and families back because the score is so good. And the story, we didn't really talk about the story as much, but we talked about the music. The story is so hopeful, kind of like Les Mis in a sense, because it's love trying to conquer all things. Because
love doesn't die, but Satine does.
Girl, no.
Yes, girl.
That was uncalled for.
It was uncalled for, but I had to.
Because there's a line in the show that says, why else live if not for love? And I think the bohemian ideals in the show, truth, beauty, freedom, and love, really resonate with a lot of people who are firm believers in that. And who are new to those theories. Because freedom, beauty, truth, and love are what you need in life to succeed. If you are not true to yourself, if you are not living your best life, if you are not self-loving yourself, that was a new term I just made up, self-loving yourself. Wow.
No, but like straight up.
If you are not being your most authentic self, you're not living a life, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but
100%.
I have talked with a lot of people, and if you thrive to be your most authentic self, then why not live by freedom, beauty, truth, and love?
And that's on Sam Talk coming through with
I am
facts.
coming through with the fact with the box.
Sam, I'm so excited to see this show. And also everyone in the show is so talented. I know we've only covered the three
Oh,
main
and Danny
leads.
Bernstein. Can we talk about Danny Bernstein really quickly as Harold Zeidler?
Oh my gosh, he is
Danny
everything.
Bernstein, guys, needs more recognition. I literally found out a month ago he was Adolfo in Drowsy Chaperone.
Oh, that's
And I
perfect
was
for him.
listening to it, and then I listened to Chandelier, which he sings in the show. And I could.
I think that this is the part I'm gonna play when you play Sistine, like
No,
100%.
I want us to play Harold and Satine one day.
That's
Because, like, I was
good.
thinking you could
That's
play
great
Christian just
casting.
because of your range. And I was just like, I don't think he would vibe with Christian. I feel like
I'm
he'd vibe with Harold.
okay, listen.
Could you run the
I love Aaron Tveit, but most male leads are very boring to me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You need to give me the boss bitch male lead,
Harold.
which is Harold. It's Harold. I'm sorry. He's the
He's the
boss
boss
bitch.
bitch.
In Les Mis, everyone, all the guys are like, girl, I want to be Marius. I'm like, girl, I want to be Andras or Thénardier. I mean, I don't think I'm hot enough to be Andras because I'd just be like, That was Aaron Tveit.
That was your Aaron Tveit impression.
No, that was me as Aaron
Okay.
Tveit. I want to be Thénardier because he's drunk, but he's rich by the end. So that's my brand. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Sam, we need to have a show just about our
We
dream
do.
couples. Guys, we're doing that.
Oh my gosh, this is off topic, but we are going to start an Instagram account for this podcast radio.
Yes, we
What if
are.
we hosted cabarets? Would you guys want to do that?
Oh gosh, yes, we need to do cabarets. And I think we need to do Instagram lives a lot, Sam, me and
Just
you, just
vibing.
vibing. I love us. All right, guys. This is gonna have to close out our podcast for the day. Well, our radio show for the day. But it feels like a podcast because
Yeah,
we're
what
very
is
chill.
this?
This is definitely a radio
Okay.
show.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's more podcast. It's filmed like a podcast. If anyone's worried about how we do this. We're not actually in a studio. Sam is in New York at her house, and I am in Florida at my house. And we call each other on this app and we talk. So that's how
Thanks,
it happens.
Anchor.
Period. All right, guys. So we're gonna close us out with another song from Moulin Rouge by the amazing Karen Olivo. Firework by Katy Perry, sung by Karen Olivo,
I'm
as
kind
well
of
as Katy
salty
Perry.
that you didn't put Elephant Love Medley or Backstage Romance.
No, I'm in love with Karen Olivo. Can I just share Karen Olivo with our
Yes, go
listeners,
ahead.
please? Okay, but guys, you have to listen to the Moulin Rouge cast recording. Follow them on Instagram. Support and all the actors in any way possible because they're all fantastic and they're out of work. So take a class, do a
Donate to the
meet and
Acting
greet,
Fund.
donate, give them an Instagram follow. That'll help them in the future. So like their posts, go off, help the
Listen to the
actors.
class recording.
And the producers, everyone in the
Everyone.
theater. Hey, okay. Thank you so much, guys. Catch you later.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep? 6 feet under screams, but no one seems to hear a thing. Do you know that there's still a chance for you? 'Cause there's a spark in you. You just got to ignite the light and let it shine. Just hold the night like the full. You don't have to feel like a waste of space. You're an original, cannot be replaced. If you only knew what the future holds. After a hurricane comes a rainbow. Maybe the reason why all the doors are closed, so you could open one that leads you to that perfect road. Like a lightning bolt, your heart will glow. And when it's time, you'll know you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Blow from caving in.